The poem is called Ginza Samba. And similarly to the shirt, it deals with the history of an object. The object is the saxophone. I actually play the horn. I played it professionally when I was a kid, in the sense that I blew into it and people paid me money. It was not very glorious. It was sort of high school dances and bars and things. And a few years ago, I started playing again with tapes, Jamie Ibersole rhythm section tapes. I highly recommend as a sideman. If you make a mistake, they don't look at one another. If you want to start over again, you just push a button. The saxophone is an important symbol of culture to me. It was invented in the 1840s in Paris by a Belgian man named Sax. Therefore, one might say it is a European instrument, right? No, it is not a European instrument. It's an American, indeed an African-American instrument, because it was made so by geniuses named Johnny Hodges and Lester Young and Charlie Parker and Dexter Gordon, Lester Young, Coleman Hawkins. They made it their instrument. And if I think about my body with its heredity and the things it's been taught, the language I taught it, a language which, like the shirt, is a product of ingenuity and brilliance and torture and suffering and enslavement of people like the Highland Scots, the language itself is that. And if you could think of what is your ambition in relation to all of that history, in relation to your body, which is mortal, to make it your instrument. All the things you learn in school, to make it your instrument. There is a jazz tune called Ginza Samba, played among others by the late Stan Getz. I just like the cultural mixing. In fact, they both end in that "uh" sound, and the one is Japanese, and the other one is Portuguese-Brazilian. Ginza Samba. A monosyllabic European called Sax invents a horn. Walla whirla di wa, a kind of twisted, brazen clarinet, but with its column of vibrating air shaped not in a cylinder, but in a cone, widening ever outward, and bawa, spouting infinitely upward through an upturned, swollen, golden bell, rimmed like a gloxinia, flowering in Sax's Belgian imagination, and in the unfathomable matrix of mothers and fathers, as a genius graven humming into the cells of the body, or cupped in the resonating grail of memory, changed and exchanged, as in the trading of brasses, pearls and ivory, calicoes and slaves, slave laborers and slave girls, two cousins in a royal family of Niger, known as the Berbs, or hawks. In Christendom, one cousin's child becomes a, quote, favorite Negro, end quote, ennobled by decree of the Tsar, and founds a great family, a line of generals, dandies, and courtiers, including the poet Pushkin, killed in a duel concerning his wife's honor, while the other cousin sails in the belly of a slave ship to the port of Baltimore, where she is raped and dies in childbirth. But the infant will marry a Seminole, and in the next chorus of time, their child fathers a great hawk, or bird, with many followers, among them this great-grandchild of the Jewish manager of a Pushkin estate, blowing his American breath out into the wiggly tune, uncurling its triplets and sixteenths, the Ginza Samba of breath and brass, the reed vibrating as a valve, the ether, the unimaginable wires and circuits of an ingenious box here in my room, in this house, built 100 years ago while I was elsewhere. It is like falling in love, the atavistic imperative of someone voice or face, the skill, the copper filament, the golden bell full of notes twirling through their invisible element from Rio to Tokyo and back again, gathering speed in the variations as they tunnel the twin haunted labyrinths of stirrup and anvil, echoing here in the hearkening instrument of my skull. Thank you.